Cook County unique with this film, it started out real slow and all of a sudden, boom, went right out. Very good. Little couch. I just want to highlight a couple of things here this morning. We are having our annual meeting after our service today. No Sunday school, immediately after our worship service. And a pitch-in meal, something you don't want to miss, right? You want to stay for that. The meeting will be brief. It's something we do each year, kind of highlight what we did in 2023. And it will just flash for a few minutes, and then we'll move right into a delicious meal prepared by our wonderful ladies here. Amen? So we want you to stay. And you may say, well, I didn't bring anything. You didn't have to. We got plenty, right? We always have plenty. Please stay for and for the fellowship too. And don't forget about this schedule that is in your bulletin. Keep that close to you. These meetings will be starting soon. February the 18th will be the first one. It will be here at the Seventh Baptist Church. We will be hosting the first one, and then there will be five others following up to Palm Sunday. And they're all great services and great blessings from each one. This morning, we are continuing our message in Savoring the Moment. This is part two, using the two verses, 12 and verse 13 of Joshua chapter 10. I preached part of it last Sunday, and this Sunday I just want to kind of captivate on the first three points I used last Sunday to illustrate what we need to do personally and experiences that have happened over the years when we don't give the Lord time, His time, the time that He has given us. You know, God created time, right? We didn't. So we're on His schedule, not our schedule. And I want us to get from this message, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what He wants us as a church, as individuals, to understand that our time alone with God and listening to Him as He gives us vision or gives us goals in our lives to pursue, not only as a church, but individually. And when you put those two together, they work. Right on God's time and what He has in store for each one of us. So let's begin with verse 12, and I'll read verse 13. God speaking to Joshua in verse 12, says, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, 'O sun, stand still at Hebron, and O moon in the valley of Jerim.'" And then verse 13. It's not moving. Oh, there we go. "So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jehar that the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day?" It's a miracle. It's a wonder how God works when people pray. When in the Old Testament, when they prayed, God answered prayers. He still does that today. And He still works by the same Spirit as He did then. And we just got to be still and listen and know that He is God when He speaks. So as I stated last Sunday, many believers live for those exciting moments when they experience God's glory in some amazing way. And these are times I call, mountaintop experiences. How many of you have ever had a mountaintop experience? Well, we all have, haven't we? And if God causes those, He makes those things happen in our lives. When we pray and we experience His blessings, sometimes we're down in the valley, but we pray and God answers our prayer and He moves us to the mountaintop so that we can see His glory. And we would just love to stay there, right? We really would. However, once we reach that place and find that it's all over so quickly, then sometimes we may get discouraged. You may think, Lord, why have you abandoned me? What's happened here? But Hebrews chapter 13 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I want us to continue to look at this passage of scriptures and use some examples and illustrations to know what the power of God, how He works in our lives, how He orchestrates His will and His purpose when we pray and seek His will, when we rely upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. So first of all, following last Sunday's 3 points, this would be what I would call the fourth, but we need to fall in love with the Lord. There that intimacy that we have with Him, it is so amazing when we pray, when we get into His Word, and we see how He works in and through our lives. So if believers would truly fall head over heels in love with God, His Son, Jesus Christ, then we wouldn't have trouble devoting our time to Him. We wouldn't have any trouble at all. Now, I want to share something that with you this morning. There's a scene from the movie entitled The Knight's Tale. How many of you saw that movie? You did? Okay, do you remember anything about it? I saw a few hands go up. When Will, who is the main character, I guess, actually he was a hero of the story, says something romantic to his beloved fiance or wife at that time. And her name was Jocelyn. And Jocelyn, he said, Jocelyn, you remind me of the Bible. And after a slight pause, he continued, you remind me of when God stopped the sun in the sky at Gibeon to give Joshua more time to defeat the Amorites. Now, he used scriptures. They used scriptures to do that. And Jocelyn looked very perplexed when he said this. And she said, I don't understand. To which Will romantically replied, if I could ask God to do one thing, it would be to stop the moon and make the night and your beauty last forever. Now that's in that romantic moment of this scene. Which I have to say, Ben, I believe you can identify with this intense feeling you developed towards your wife when you first met her. Can you go back that far? Some, it's not that many years, and some, for some of us, it's many, many years. But Brenda can tell you, I can go back to that very moment, can't I, Brenda? Definitely, she said. Definitely. Because it's a special moment in our lives when we meet someone and they just kind of light up their life. That's the way it is. And think back to the time before you were married, how much you wanted to be with that person, your spouse or your fiance at that time. You didn't want that moment with her to ever end. Now, ladies, here's you. I'm certain that you can identify how you felt towards your husband at that time as well. Can you go back that far and remember that special moment? And hopefully you will still feel that way today. I didn't hear it, amen. Certainly you would. But here's where I'm going with this. If only believers could possess that kind of a passion for God. You know, at the moment that you first met him, it was wonderful. It was great. The working of his Holy Spirit in your life, I mean, it just lighted up your countenance. It just radiated your life. If only we could have that same fire for Jesus Christ. That's the passion for God. A real passion for God. Now, as a church, as God's church, believers are the bride of Christ. You think about that now. And we are expected to fall passionately in love with the Lord Jesus Christ because we are his bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? And God wants each one of us to desire to spend time with him and his son, Jesus Christ. He desires that. And the scriptures tell us that we are to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's in 2 Timothy 2:15. And if we are truly and passionately in love with the Lord, then we won't have a problem giving him our time. Whether it be in church or during our daily devotion, and that is very important. I know many of you spend a lot of time, minutes, and maybe even an hour, in your time along with the Lord each day. And that's very important. Whether it's in the morning or at noon, at your break time, or whatever time you have, spare, whatever window that you have, or even at night, before you go to bed. That time is important. All right, maybe it's a request in pursuing a calling that he's placed in your life. And even during an unexpected delay in processing new spiritual territory in your life. And we are to experience it. We are to be looking for new spiritual territory to expand upon. And the borders are unlimited for us to pursue in our walk with the Lord. Now, that is what I'm sharing, falling in love with the Lord. You know, he wants us to do that. He desires us to do that. Now, what does it mean failing to give him time? That's something we want to be careful about. Failing to give the Lord our time. And if you and I, if you and I, fail to worship God during the heat of the battles in our life, then we may purposely miss out on the victoriously moment God has in store for us. And he has a lot of moments in store for us. Victorious moments. time with him where he can show us things that we've never experienced before until we spend time along with him. I want to share something with you that is a true story that actually happened a few years ago. And it's an example of a church that failed to give God time and to share with you the results of this circumstances. I read about the story and I thought, boy, this is unbelievable. But I said, it can happen. And it's about a church that had been praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit during one of the particular evening services that they were conducting. And the Holy Spirit actually took over that service, and people began to start reconciling with one another their differences that they had over the years. And that just happened in churches a lot of times. And many were walking across the aisles and asking their brothers and sisters in Christ to forgive them for where they maybe had wronged one another. And there were shouts of praise, and there was tears of joy. And all of this occurred during the middle of the service. And the pastor didn't know what to make of it. He just didn't know what to do. So the pastor of that church stopped preaching, and he prayed with the people at that moment. But after a certain amount of time had passed, he became very nervous because the service was going overtime, and he stopped everything and concluded the evening service. What a tragedy. And soon after that glorious night of savoring in God's glory, in his spirit, everything just fell apart. This is a true story. People started committing dreadful sins, and the church eventually died. And John says, "Oh, my little children, you know, your sins have been forgiven. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." See, the Bible tells us there is a quenching of the Holy Spirit. That's what took place that evening. The Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And that can happen. The word quench means to put out or extinguish or to subdue. So believers can quench the Holy Spirit if they are not careful. And they can put out a flame that burns within the church if they fail to honor God with their time. See, when we come together here on Sunday morning, this is our time with God. This is God's time that he has appointed us. So as we start a new year, I want to encourage each and every one of you to find time. Maybe you failed to do in 2023, 22, 21, on back. But it is very crucial in our day and time. And I can say that tomorrow, next week, next year, how crucial the time is for us to spend time along with God. You know, our lives, our nation would not be in the troubles and the circumstances and the hardships that it is now if churches, God's people, would spend more time seeking his will. Because Satan is, you know, he's on the move. We talked about that Wednesday night in our Bible study. and so forth. How Satan is the prince of the air. Now he has control of this world as far as people's lives and moving in the wrong direction. God's in control of all things. But until God comes back again, or sends Jesus Christ to come back to this world to establish his kingdom, Satan is going to do all he can to destroy the world itself and turn everyone against God. Now, the outcome of this particular situation, a pastor friend talked with the pastor of this particular church concerning what had gone wrong after that night. And the pastor admitted that he had never before lost control of a service before and only felt secure when he was in control. You get that? We never should consider ourselves in control of anything. God should be in control. He's in control of time. So he took the reins away from God and the Holy Spirit departed. Examples in the Bible of that, right? Samson. When he turned against God, when he told of the powers that were given him by the power of God, his hair was cut. Of course, that wasn't just a hair, but it was God working through him. He did not realize the Spirit left him. The king Saul, when he disobeyed God, he was leading the nation in the wrong direction, and he was going through spiritual depression and all those things in his life. And the scripture says he did not know that the Spirit had left him. You see, it can happen. It can happen in your churches. It can happen in each one of our lives when we are disobedient to the Lord and not giving the Lord our time. And he said he learned a valuable lesson from that experience about giving the Lord his rightful time and about allowing God to have control over his life. And he stated that if he had to do it all over again, that he would allow the service to go as long as the Lord desired. And that's what we do. That's what we should do with our lives. Anything under God's control is never out of control. I want you to remember that. Anything under God's control. Now, it can get out of control with us, can it? If we want to be in control, it can be out of control very quickly. But nothing under God's control is never out of control. So in conclusion this morning, I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning not to fail in giving God our time. Believers need to come to the realization that time that they have is really not ours. It's not theirs. Believers, it's not theirs. But it all belongs to God because God created time. He created everything for his purpose. He has the authority of all things. So if you and I desire to see God move in a mighty way in our lives, in this church, or in the pursuit of his best, then I encourage you to give the Lord your time. We need to give him our time, not only when things are going good, but even in the difficult times as well. And every one of us experienced that. Families are experiencing that now. Going through health issues and job situations, financially, just many, many family situations. When things are falling apart, that's when we really need to seek God. That's when we usually do. But we need to seek God at all times, in our lives, in our personal time. And then when we would come together, you see, we can share those experiences and say, guess what God revealed to me this week in my life, my own devotional time with Him. Not only when things are going tough, but in difficult times as well. We need to be diligent and faithful in our worship of the Lord, and you will fall so in love with Jesus Christ that you'll find yourself longing to spend every minute of the day with Him. It becomes very contagious that way. And if you will give God your time and savor in God's glory in the thick of the battle, and I promise you, then you will rise victorious over every obstacle that might come in your life. Now I want to go back to Psalms 46:10, where it says that we are to be still and know that He is God. God spoke to the psalmist here when the first verse in Psalm 46, where it says that He be still and know that I'm God, that we are to find rest in our time of need with Him. It goes on in this chapter saying that God's in control. He's in control of the seas and wars and things in people's lives. And then when it comes down to it in verse 10, that's when we need to be still and understand, yes, He is in control. And He is the God of all things. And we ought to know that He is God. I go back to thinking about Moses, when God spoke to Moses in a powerful way. God spoke to Moses and Moses stood still because he knew it was God. And God gave him a command and told him to go to Egypt and speak to Pharaoh. And Moses said, what should I tell Pharaoh? And he said, well, tell Pharaoh, I am that I am, has sent you. You see, he listened to God. We need to listen to God. Joshua listened to God. Isaiah, all the prophets, because God spoke His revelation through them that to the people might know that God is who He is, all-powerful, all-knowing. If He knows everything, He knows our lives. He knows what we need. He knows what we don't need. He is willing to work with us if we're willing to spend time with Him. We just need to remember, we need to be still sometimes and just listen to God. But we need to speak and pray, ask God, and spend time with Him. Get to know Him so His Spirit will always be moving and we'll always be experiencing the movement of God, the power of God in our lives. What? How wonderful it is when you see God moving and you know it. And you can testify and you can share it, you know, spouse with spouse. Brenda and I, there's been moments when we knew that God spoke to both of us at the same time, but we were in different rooms. And then we shared that moment. And the things that we was experiencing, going through in our lives, but God spoke to us at the same time. But we were in separate rooms, and we come together and said, let me share. And we both shared the same experience. And that happens. That happens. That's how God works. When you spend time with Him, God moves in a powerful and mighty way. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You that You want us. You created us you want to use us for your honor and glory. You came to this earth. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to be the Savior of the world. To show us your love. And through your love, Lord, we can experience your power. And through your Holy Spirit that you have given each one of us who accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, we can live out our life to the fullest, the abundance of the joy that we have and that we experience each day is because we spend that time with you. There's many other things in this life that can distract us and can take up our time if we allow it. But Lord, we must first meet with you. Meet you first of all and experience your glory. And then we can share with others that maybe don't know you at all, that have never experienced your love. For when we share your love, that you died for us, and you work in our life, and you show us how we are to live, help one another. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you helped us, that you came to this earth, that you died for us. And now, in return, we give you our time, our full devotion. And we are to be your witnesses. We are to experience new territory, spiritual territory, the territory of reaching people. May that be our desire, because we know it's your desire that happen in our church, in our lives, in our community, that this world be changed by Christians, by believers that follow you and spend time with you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this service today. We thank you that through our yielding and surrendering our lives to you, Lord, we will see a big change in this year in the life of this church, this community, and our lives personally. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.